We're glad you're listening to Rhema for Today.
But he said, I tell you, don't worry about anything. Worry is the worst thing on your heart. He said, just don't worry. Don't get mad. He said, you might lose your temper and just die instantly. Don't worry. Don't get mad. He said, in fact, you see my window, they had me leaning where I could look out the window. You see the street. He said, if something exciting happens out there on the street, you know, like maybe a car wreck or anything, he said, well, don't look out, because you might get excited and just die instantly. And then he went on to say, worry has killed more people. He said there's more people in the hospital, more people are sick, more people are already dead than the grave over worry and any other one thing. Well, I guess he could detect, all right, that my mother and grandmother were world champion worriers.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Today you'll hear more from Kenneth E. Hagin on his teaching, Faith Classics. Next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
Another translation reads, therefore, be not anxious. In fact, the translation I was reading said, therefore, be not anxious about tomorrow. And I was reading a little footnote there, and it said, don't worry or fret. And it referred me to Philippians 4:6, where again, the King James translation says, be careful for nothing. That's a little blind to us. Amplified translation reads, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Well, here God's telling me not to worry. Here God's telling me not to be anxious or to fret. And I've promised him when I read it and understand it, I'll do it. But I'm not only bound on the bed of affliction and almost dead, but I've just about worried myself the rest of the way to death. You see, my grandmother and mother were world champion warriors. And they just unconsciously taught me to worry. I'll tell you, there never was, even though I was a kid, one more to worry than I. Now, people talk about a habit to getting rid of. I want to tell you the hardest sin I ever gave up is the sin of worrying. Why, somebody said, that's not a sin. It's a sin, my brother, sister, to disobey God's word. Are you hearing me? Sure, that's a sin. And it's much worse habit than the tobacco habit. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. Much worse. You see, tobacco will just half kill you, but worry will kill you. A fellow that uses tobacco is just half alive while he lives. He can't taste anything because he's got that terrible taste in his mouth and his sense of taste is dull. And he can't smell anything because he stinks so bad himself all the time. Till you know if he can smell, he quit using the nasty stuff. Well, now that's true. Amen, that's the truth. And he really doesn't enjoy life. He just goes through about half dead. Doctors admit that themselves. But worry will kill you. Amen, all together. I know the doctor told me. You see, I remember one thing got me in this kind of a shape. You see, one of the doctors came out there and told me, he said, and talked to me about 45 minutes one time. He just took off 45 minutes from his noon hour, that is, and he went to lunch. I didn't know he was coming. He hadn't been on the case very long. One of the other doctors, old Dr. Mathers, on the case had died. And so they got Dr. Robinson. And so he stopped by one day and he said to me, son, has any of the other doctors, he knew there'd been four more, he was the fifth doctor on the case. He said, has any of the other doctors ever told you just exactly what's wrong with you? I said, no, sir. Well, now, he said, I'll tell you, I'm a little different maybe than some doctors, but I believe in telling people exactly what's wrong with them. Now, he said, I'm going to tell you exactly what's wrong with you. You know, of course, you have a heart condition. And so he said, well, Now, you got to remember, this is 1933. Of course, doctors know more nowadays than they did then. So he took a prescription pad from his pocket, and he had written on that seven names. They were medical names, and so I couldn't understand them. I mean, even when he said them, I didn't understand them. He said, up till now, there are seven serious organic heart troubles known to medical science. Now, he said, when I said organic, I mean in the organs of the heart itself. He held up his fist, doubled his fist up. He said, say, for instance, my fist is your heart. I mean in the organ. He said, there's trouble in the muscles around the heart. I'm not talking about that. There's hardening of the arteries. I'm not talking about that. He said, there's a kidney trouble that'll affect the heart, but I'm not talking about that. Some people have a nervous heart. I'm not talking about that. Indigestion, some folks, you know, it'll affect the heart and a lot of other things. But he said, I'm talking about in the organ itself, the heart itself. Now, he said, out of these seven, I had two of them. And he went on to tell me I was born that way. For instance, he said, you have a deformed heart. Now, for instance, he said, you've seen a child with a deformed foot, maybe a club foot. I said, yes, sir. Well, he said, that's what we call a deformed foot. Now, your heart is deformed. It isn't normal. And I also asked him why, when I drank a glass of cold water, it didn't go straight to my stomach, but spread out over the left side of my chest. And he said, you're also deformed throughout your entire chest area. And then this condition has gone on so long, it took blood from the end of my finger, and it looked the color of a pale orange and was real watery-like. And so he said the white corpuscles destroyed the red blood corpuscles faster than they could do anything about it, and medical science could do anything about it. In fact, he said there's just no need to even try. And then my body had become practically totally paralyzed. At times, I was just completely. And then I'd get to where I could use my arms a little bit. So he said to me, Sonny, he said, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. There's not anything, any medicine reach you, no operation. There's nothing can be done for you. And he said, you just go down the middle of the road and stay ready to go. And the doctor took me by the hand, patted me, said, son, stay ready to go. Well, he told me all he knew, you see. And I appreciate him for being frank and honest with me. I told him so later when I was in the office after I was raised up. But anyway, he went on to say to me, now I realize, you might say, well, what are you couldn't do much here in bed. But he said, I tell you, don't worry about anything. Worry is the worst thing on your heart. He said, just don't worry. Don't get mad. He said, you might lose your temper and just die instantly. Don't worry. Don't get mad. He said, in fact, you see my window, they had me laid where I could look out the window, you see, in the street. And he said, if something exciting happens out there on the street, you know, like maybe a car wreck or anything, he said, well, don't look out. He said, you might get excited and just die instantly. And then he went on to say, worry has killed more people. He said, there's more people in the hospital, more people are sick, more people are already dead than in the grave over worry than any other one thing. Well, I guess he could detect, all right, that my mother and grandmother were world champion worriers, and I just sort of inherited that because I was only almost dead. I was about to worry myself to death the rest of the way of worrying what was wrong with me, wondering what was wrong with me. And then when he left and told me I couldn't worry and to quit it, boy, I'll tell you, that put me on the spot. And so I got the feeling sorry for myself, and then here God got, he got to working on me. And he began to deal with me about that sin of worrying. That's where my healing started. I began to get under conviction about it. Now, I surprise folks sometimes when I tell them I just soon cuss as to worry. Both of them are sins. We'll not discuss which one's the worse. If it's wrong, well, we oughtn't to do it. Are you hearing me? I want to show you what it means to be a doer of the word. So I remember about 6 o'clock in the evening that day in 1933, I finally said to the Lord, I finally capitulated. I said, all right, Lord, I promise you from this day forward, I'll never worry anymore. I told you that I never doubt anything you read in your word. I read in your word. And the moment of understanding, I'd do it. And you see, I'd gone on by Matthew 6, and up till then, God's word was light to me. But from then on, it was dark to me. Do you know why God's word's dark to a lot of you folks? You are not walking in the light you already have. If you go back and start walking in the light, God's word will become light to you again. Just the very minute that I went back to Matthew 6 and started walking in the light, then the rest of the word became light to me. But after I went on by that, see, months had gone by. It took me 3 months or more to get out of Matthew 6. I went on reading, but I couldn't get anything out of it. Because, you see, I wasn't doing what I said I'd do. Well, somebody said, I didn't tell God I'd do that, though. Well, he expects it of you whether you told him or not. It'll work the same way with you whether you tell him or whether you don't tell him. Because that's just the principle on which God works, the faith principle. And so I said, all right, Lord, I promise you from this day forward, I'll never worry anymore. I'll not feel sorry for myself anymore. I'll never be discouraged anymore. I'll never have the blues. Now, folks, all that goes together. This blue day business is causing some worry and discouragement. And every bit of it comes from the devil.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We have a special resource package available that we know will be a blessing to you. This package includes Kenneth Hagin's mini book, How to Be a Success in Life, along with Lynette Hagin's Keys to Fulfilling God's Plan USB, featuring 10 powerful MP3 messages. You'll also receive Denise Hagin Burns' Goals for Growth USB. These three great resources are available together for the special package price of just $39. Be sure to take advantage of this special offer and get resources that will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you continue growing in God's plan for your life. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. Rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Coming up in November, let's just give a plug for your Call to Arms Men's Conference.
Yes.
That's November the 5th through the 6th. 5th and 6th. And guess what the theme is?
Built to last.
Built to last. Yes.
Well.
So you can go to rhema.org and sign up for that.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free. 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his teaching, Faith Classics. That's tomorrow on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.